There will always be unsolved mysteries about the ancient world. We're just too far from it to resolve some of them. But there are some mysteries that can and have been solved, and science is getting more advanced every day, with computers and satellites doing more than just usher in the future. They can give us surprising glimpses into a distant past, allowing us to better understand the ancient civilizations that came before us. And luckily, the past decade has provided a number of breakthroughs that finally answer some of these quandaries. Here are seven ancient mysteries that we've solved in the last decade. While the Moai statues are not always known by name, they are instantly recognizable. These stone figures come from the islands of Rapa Nui, also known as Easter Islands. With their long heads, strong brows, big noses, and thin lips, the Moai are as iconic as they are mysterious. And for years, archaeologists have argued over their most basic facts. Why were they built? How were they moved? And why are there so many of the things? However, one of their foundational questions has finally been answered. In 2019, a team of anthropologists from six different institutions published a scientific paper showing that the Moai statues had been placed very intentionally. This has been suspected for a long time, since the statues have an average weight of about 14 tons, and, well, no one likes to carry 14 tons about willy-nilly, do they? Also, it's been well established that the Moai were constructed at an extinct volcano that served as the island's quarry and then moved, or perhaps walked, using ropes into their current locations. For the past 1,000 years, most of the approximately 900 statues had stood with their backs to the sea on stone platforms called Ahu, which can hold up to 15 of them. This placement led some people to believe that the Moai were spiritual protectors, keeping watch over the island and the people within it. And in a way, they were right. But the answer turned out to be a lot less metaphorical. As part of their research, the anthropologists used mathematically driven spatial modeling to find connections between the placement of different Moai statues. Immediately, one factor was statistically significant: fresh water. This makes sense when you consider the island's unique hydrology. One of the problems with Rapa Nui is that it has very few sources of drinkable water. Its two lakes are difficult to access, there are no streams, and its one spring is often reduced to a wetland bog. Archaeologists have found cisterns for collecting rain, but they are nowhere near big enough to provide for a population of several thousand people. Early accounts by European explorers describe the people of Rapa Nui drinking ocean water, but that doesn't make sense either. The high salt content is toxic to humans, ironically causing death by dehydration. This left the researchers with two possibilities. Either the European explorers were lying, it wouldn't be the first time, or something else was going on here. So, they studied water samples from the Easter Island coast. It turns out that rainwater is quickly absorbed by the island's volcanic soils and runs downhill beneath the ground, ejecting where the island meets the ocean. As a result, in certain areas, the water is brackish, meaning just salty enough to give it some flavor. This was the main source of water for this. Strangest way I've heard brackish water described. This was the main source of water for the people who built the Moai statues. When the researchers compared the map of freshwater ejection points and Ahu platforms, there was significant overlap. There is also evidence that Moai statues located inland were associated with freshwater as well. After years of wondering, science and mathematics has finally unveiled why the enormous, iconic statues of Easter Island are placed the way that they are. There is no shortage of ancient languages that have been lost to time, and deciphering the tantalizing scraps that remain is a task so challenging that it keeps entire collegiate linguistics departments busy for decades. But in 2022, the University of Cologne was able to announce that they'd successfully cracked a language that had puzzled the world since the 1950s, Kushan. Around 135 BCE, nomadic warriors from northern China wandered their way into the kingdom of Bactria, which had been struggling ever since the death of its conqueror, Alexander the Great. They decided they liked the area and chose Bactria as their base of operations in what later became the Kushan Empire. At its height, their territory spread across the modern-day countries of Afghanistan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, eastern Iran, and northern India. As is common in large empires, there were several official languages. Bactria was an obvious choice, but the list also included Sanskrit, Gandhari, and a mysterious script that's today known as Kushan. Archaeologists first discovered inscriptions of this previously unknown language in the 1950s, but no one could translate them. It looked like this ancient writing system might be lost to time. But in 2022, a new discovery was made. A rock face in the Almosi Gorge near Dushanbe, Tajikistan, was found with a series of squiggles that turned out to be a bilingual inscription. It was like finding the Rosetta Stone, which, with its trilingual repeating of the same royal decree, was key to unlocking Egyptian hieroglyphics in the early 19th century. The rock face included the name of a Kushan ruler and his title, King of Kings, written in both Kushan and Bactrian. And since we already know how to read Bactrian, all the researchers had to do was figure out which symbols corresponded with the words, then the rest is history. It turns out that Kushan contains about 25 symbols and is read from right to left. Translations are still ongoing, but like many ancient civilizations, it appears that most of the inscriptions the Kushans left behind deal with boring day-to-day administration of the empire. However, this could prove invaluable to historians eager to learn more about this period of the Middle East. Perhaps the best-known ancient monument in the entire world, the Great Pyramid of Giza, rises out of the Egyptian desert on the edge of the city of Cairo. It seems to ignore all logic that something so large should not exist in a place so desolate. After its construction, it would take thousands of years for humans to relearn how to build such momentous architecture again. But the Great Pyramid is not alone. It is accompanied by 30 others, making it the largest group of pyramids in Egypt. Altogether, their construction required an astronomical amount of stone. The Great Pyramid alone required over 2 million blocks, and some of those weighed over 50 tons. Transporting all of that material would have been just as monumental as the building itself, and there has been plenty of skepticism about whether an ancient civilization was capable of the task or whether aliens were involved. They weren't. But an Egyptian-American geomorphologist had an idea that might explain this odd location. Emin Gonin was an expert at reading radar data and had already found evidence of an ancient megalake in the Sahara Desert. She knew that the Nile River had a habit of moving around and wondered if it had originally been closer to the pyramids, which would have allowed the Egyptians to bring the stones by boat. Even today, boats are the most efficient way to move around large cargo, and they would have been a huge help in bringing stone to the pyramid's worksite. Radar satellite imagery seemed promising, but the only way to know for sure would be on-the-ground testing. So, a team of scientists took a field trip to Egypt, where they collected soil cores, used ground-penetrating radar, and conducted tomography surveys. And what they found was larger than what anyone had expected. The Nile hadn't just tweaked its route. There had once been a huge branch of the river that had completely dried up, stretching 40 miles, that's 64 kilometers long, and at times rivaling the width of its parent waterway, this previously unknown river branch was more than capable of shepherding stone to the pyramid construction sites. In 2023, the team announced their discovery to worldwide acclaim. They decided to call their waterway Aramat, which means pyramids in Arabic. It was a nod to the ancient mystery that had inspired their research. Of all the ancient mysteries still unsolved today, there is perhaps none as intriguing as the famous Nazca Lines. These geoglyphs crisscross the Nazca Desert in southern Peru, many in fantastical shapes like plants or animals. It is unknown why these gigantic drawings were made or what their significance may be. In fact, their scope was only fully understood after airplanes were invented and photographs could be taken from the sky. But while the Nazca Lines are undoubtedly fascinating, less known are the Nazca Spirals. Just as mysterious, these are rock-lined holes that disappear into the desert sand. There have been many theories about their purpose, but most agreed that they had something to do with water. Locally, these holes are known as pequeños, meaning wells. It was also known that the Nazca had an elaborate irrigation system, parts of which are still functional today. But quite frankly, the spirals just didn't really look like wells, which left a lot of people pretty puzzled. Like the Nazca Lines, unveiling the mystery of the spirals required looking up. But this time, researchers were not limited to merely airplanes. This time, they had satellites. In 2016, a team of scientists at an Italian scientific institute analyzed images from space to identify all pequeños in existence. They then cross-referenced those locations with local water sources and ancient settlements. The data had them convinced that these spirals did have something to do with the irrigation system, but not in the way that you'd think. The Nazca Desert is one of the driest places on Earth. Every drop of water was precious for those who lived within it. They couldn't afford to lose any to evaporation, and in the desert, that was going to be a bit of a challenge. So the Nazca people opted to keep their water underground for as long as possible to keep it away from the thieving sun. Once the water went into the tunnels, it had a tendency to stay there. They needed a way to move the water toward their crops without reworking their tunnel system. And this is where the Pikios came in. The researchers believed that their main function was not to act as wells, but as a kind of chimney. Their spiral shape channeled wind into the underground passageways, forcing the water into the desired direction. It was a simple and elegant solution to their stationary water problem. The team is convinced that the people who built the Pikios also built the famous Nazca lines. Both projects required a deep knowledge of local geography and large-scale cooperation, and with more and more research about the Nazca line suggesting a connection to water, this discovery will hopefully bring the world closer to solving yet another ancient mystery. The classical Greek city of Athens is known as the birthplace of democracy, a haven for the arts, and the cultural center of the ancient world. But it was also home to a gruesome spectacle that was discovered in the 1930s when an American archaeologist was investigating a well on the edge of the Athenian Agora. The Agora was a public space that included meeting areas, public buildings, and monuments to the Greek gods. Accessible drinking water was as necessary then as it is now, so public wells were a common feature. But this well was far from ordinary. The archaeologists soon realized that it was full of bones, but not just any bones, the bones of human infants. Knowing that they had something highly unusual, the remains were removed and sent to a lab for further study. Initial investigations were able to identify over 450 individuals, most of them babies, but a few being adults or older children. The well also contains the bodies of approximately 150 dogs. It was such a bizarre discovery that no one knew what to make of it. Was this human sacrifice? Had there been a plague that affected only babies? Or perhaps an invasion that targeted the city's youngest citizens? There were no answers to be had until 2015, when Maria Liston, a biological anthropologist, teamed up with archaeologist Susan Rotroff. Together, they analyzed the skeletal remains and determined that the babies had entered the well sometime between 165 and 150 BCE. And surprisingly, the vast majority had died from natural causes. Approximately one-third of the babies had bacterial meningitis, an infection of the membranes that cover the brain and the spinal cord. A severe case can spread to the bones, leaving marks that are still visible all these years later. In babies, this is often caused by cutting the umbilical cord with something that isn't sterilized. It remains a common cause of infant mortality to this very day. Given this evidence, it's believed that most of the babies in the well died of early childhood diseases that were rampant at the time. But there were exceptions. There was one adult with serious bone deformities with an unknown cause of death. There was also an 18-month-old with multiple fractures at different degrees of healing, likely the oldest known example of physical child abuse. But how had these people ended up in the well? The key seemed to be that most of the bones came from babies that were less than a week old at the time of death. The Athenians believed that children did not become full members of the family until about a week to 10 days after birth, at which time a ceremony was held that gave them a name. If a child died before this, they couldn't be buried in the family necropolis. It's not exactly known why this became the baby well, but its location might hold some answers. At the time it was used, it was located down a blind alleyway, easily accessible but out of sight, the perfect place to get rid of a body, which is clearly what people were using it for. The bones of dogs that were found in the well is another story, however. That is still an ancient mystery that's waiting to be solved. Maybe it was just a place people got rid of their dead dogs. The ancient city of Tikal was one of the most important in the Mayan Empire. Located in modern-day Guatemala, it was famous for elaborate stone palaces and temples, the ruins of which are still visible within the rainforest today. The metropolis reached its height approximately 2,000 years ago, with a population of at least 10,000 people. Its name translates to "at the waterhole," which is ironic because, as far as scientists know, the main water source of Tikal was undrinkable. Unlike many ancient civilizations, living near the equator meant that the Maya had to deal with a wet season that brought buckets of rain and a dry season that left them with none. And with no lakes or rivers nearby, a reservoir system was an absolute necessity. However, leaving water in stagnant pools for months at a time is a bit of a recipe for disaster. Just like reservoirs today, the Mayans would have had to contend with contamination from human waste, heavy metals, and cyanobacteria. But if the water wasn't drinkable, how did the city of Tikal maintain such a high population? Well, it wasn't until 2020 that a team of scientists revealed the answer. It turns out that the Maya had created an advanced system of water purification, the first of its kind in the ancient world. It started with a drainage system that funneled rainwater into the city's reservoirs. Along the way, the water went through a porous limestone wall that contained woven plant material and layers of sand. Now, sand is capable of removing dirt and making water look cleaner, but it can't remove bacteria or heavy metals. But the Maya weren't using ordinary sand. They were adding a naturally occurring volcanic ash meets alkaline water mixture called zeolite. Zeolite is a powerhouse when it comes to water purification. It is a cage-like structure which traps suspended particles while allowing water to pass through uninhibited. It is also negatively charged, which acts as a kind of Velcro for catching rogue elements. Everything from heavy metals to cyanobacteria gets trapped in their net, making the water at Dakar some of the safest in the ancient world. This stuff is so potent that it still is used in water filters today. However, a filter that consists mostly of sand does have some obvious design flaws. Archaeologists found evidence that it was prone to breaking during heavy rainstorms and needed to be rebuilt multiple times during the city's heyday. But it was still a huge technological leap forward, and it was light years away from the fabric filters that were used in ancient Greece. After years of being underappreciated, the researchers were happy that the ancient Maya were finally getting some respect for their forward-thinking engineering. Have you ever wondered why there are so many Roman ruins in the world today, even though the Roman Empire fell approximately 2,000 years ago? Well, it's not just that they were so prolific in their construction, although that is part of the answer. The Romans were using a special recipe for concrete that just might be the best concrete to ever exist in the history of the world. The mystery of Roman concrete has enchanted and baffled engineers and historians alike for centuries. This stuff could hold up against invading armies, earthquakes, and the ravages of time. Tests have shown that it's far superior to even our modern iterations. And yet, no one could figure out how or why. Well, that changed in 2023 when scientists triumphantly announced that they had finally cracked the case of the uncrackable concrete. They had started with what is already well known. All concrete is made with a mix of sand, gravel, and lime. For a long time, it was theorized that the sand was the secret ingredient. It was well known that the Romans preferred to use volcanic ash, which has a high silica content. But although this might have some effect on the strength, it clearly wasn't the answer. An international team of scientists decided to focus on another component, the lime. This is made by heating ground-up limestone to remove impurities, a process that today is responsible for up to 8% of global greenhouse gas emissions. But the Romans weren't using ordinary lime. They were the people who had conquered the Mediterranean. They constantly went for high-risk, high-reward situations. A chemical analysis showed that they used quicklime. As the name implies, quicklime can be very dangerous. This material has been heated in a kiln to burn off all water and carbon, leaving behind calcium oxide. Like all unstable compounds, it craves stability and will react with literally any liquid to make that happen. The resulting chemical reaction can reach temperatures over 250 degrees Celsius or 480 degrees Fahrenheit very quickly. However, if properly mixed in concrete, the temperature should average out to about 100 degrees Celsius or 200 degrees Fahrenheit. This is still pretty warm, and the practice is referred to as hot mixing. This results in a concrete that is unusually sticky and strengthens over several years. Also, the quicklime is unable to fully dissolve, resulting in lime lumps called casts. These casts, it turns out, are the key to the unusual strength of Roman cement. If any cracks appear after the mixture hardens, the casts react with water to form carbonate crystals, self-healing the concrete from within. This not only revolutionizes our understanding of the ancient world, but also has the potential to change the production of modern concrete. After all, a long-lasting concrete is also an eco-friendly concrete. Who knew that the ancient Romans would still be contributing to science and engineering all these years later? The ancient world will never stop capturing modern imagination. There's just something so irresistibly interesting about a civilization so different from our own, yet contains those familiar human touches we can all recognize. The gaps in our knowledge about these civilizations provide a unique opportunity to show how far we've come. Whether it's artificial intelligence, satellite imagery, or statistical analysis, modern science can reveal answers about the distant past. But the journey's not over yet. For every mystery that has been solved in the last 10 years, there are hundreds of questions that are still awaiting answers. We can only hope that technology and our own human curiosity continues to help us in our quest to learn more about the ancient world. Thank you for watching.